Today we're talking about sets. Who can tell me what a set is? Does anyone know what a set is?
Like a group or organ pair?
Yes, I like your first answer better than your second answer.
Group?
A group. Yeah?
Like numbers, like, they were from like the top to the bottom?
Yeah, you could consider that a set. Let me write down my definition here. So a set is a collection of distinct objects. So it's actually pretty broad. It's just a set of objects. This distinct word is important. The reason that that's important is it means every object in the set has to be different. So just looking at this definition, who can think of a set? Does anyone have an idea? Right back there.
Like a coin collection or something?
A coin collection, sure. Okay, who's got another possible thing that they think might be a set of objects?
Like a pack of cards?
A deck of cards, yes. So, yeah, those are both perfectly good examples. I have on my sheet of paper, I have the letters of the alphabet are a set. So, one more, alphabet. So it really depends on the situation that you're talking about as to like what set you're going to consider. The important thing that we need to know when we're writing sets is that any set that we write is written in these curly braces like such. And then whatever's inside the curly braces are the elements of the set. So coins would be elements of the set in the coin collection. Okay? So you can list the elements descriptively like this, and just say like coin collection, alphabet, something like that, or you can list them individually. So let's say we had a group of people. It's perfectly okay to write Jill, Jack, John, something like that. That's a perfectly valid set too. Well, there's actually two more things, just when we're talking about sets and when we're writing them and showing them. One more important thing is to note is that we can use a letter to represent these sets. Instead of writing out the entire alphabet, which would take a long time, what we can do is something like this. We say let, and then let's pick a capital letter. What capital letter should we use for the alphabet?
L.
L? Sure. Let L, capital L, equal the alphabet. And this just helps so that later, when we're talking about the alphabet, if we're going to use that in an example, we can just refer to it as L in our writing, because like I said last week, mathematicians get really lazy. And we like to write everything in symbols and numbers if we can. So, last thing, let me ask, and I'll state it as a question. So I have two sets here. I have the set with the elements 3 and 1 in it, and I have another set with the elements 1 and 3 in it. Are these the same set, or are they different sets? Actually, no, they're not. And that's the one thing that's important to remember with sets. Order doesn't matter in sets. With the order you write it inside the brackets doesn't matter. So this set is the same as this set. They're exactly the same because they contain the same elements. That's what makes an element unique, is what's in the set. Let's look at an example where we could use sets. So Mike is putting together a badminton team. And he wishes to find someone in his class who would be interested in being his partner. So, Mike, wanting to win as much as possible, decides that he should ask someone who's played another sport first. So, he decides he will try asking people who play tennis or baseball. Now we're going to start talking about some sets that relate to this example. So, what's a set of people that might be of interest to us here? Yes?
Tennis?
Tennis players. Alright, so let's let T be the set of tennis players. And the other set of interest to us is baseball players, right? So we'll let B be the set of baseball players. So, Mike soon learns that the number of tennis players in his class, there's 3 tennis players in his class, and he also finds out the number of baseball players in his class, there's 4 in his class. So, off the top of your head, how many people can Mike ask to be his partner?
7.
7, which is a great guess. However, Mike does a little bit more research and actually finds the names of these people. But he does some more research and he finds out that the actual people who are tennis players are Janet, Josh, Joshua, all right, and Jamal. Whereas the baseball players, well, Janet plays baseball, Jamal plays baseball, Jordan plays baseball, and so does Jessica. So after looking at these names, now how many people do you think play baseball or tennis?
Basketball.
5.
5, yeah, because there's a few people that we didn't realize who played both sports and we accidentally counted them twice. So what I'm going to teach you here is the symbol for union. So first of all, right, the set of people who play tennis or baseball is called the union. That's an important word. The union of T and B, we'll write for short. So, and there's a special way to write this, and you might have already seen it on your sheet. The way that we write a union is T, and then a little symbol that looks like a U, and then B. It's not actually a U, it's just kind of a tub. Yeah, you can kind of think of it that way. So that's the special symbol. So that right there, and as we discussed, there's actually 5 people in this group who play tennis or baseball. So Janet. Yep, it's all J. Jamal. Jordan. Jessica. And who did I miss? Joshua. Again, order doesn't matter, right? So I wrote these probably in a different order than they're listed up there. But that doesn't matter because all 5 people are still part of this set. So, again, the reason there's only 5 people in the set is because we have to make sure we take into account people who might belong to both sets. So, very important when you're counting the number of elements in a union that you take that into account. So what I want you guys to try now is I want you guys to try exercise 1 on that sheet that I just gave you. If anyone still doesn't have a sheet, let me know and I'll hand it out. Okay? And our last answer is just finishing up right here. So we have blue, red, yellow, orange, green, and purple. Who else got those 6 colors? Great, okay. So you guys are doing okay with the subject so far? Not too tricky or anything? What's interesting about number 3 though? Does anyone notice something?
It's like super easy because you can just write down the whole bottom line instead of doing the top 3. You don't even have to add them in.
Yeah, exactly. All of E is actually in C. So you can actually do something pretty neat here. You could actually say E union C, well, it's equal to this, but it's also just equal to E.
Oh, man.
It's equal to the same set because they contain the same elements, right? Anyways, that's something interesting that you'll see later. So, again, but let's keep going. Yep.
Wouldn't it be equal to C?
C is the bigger set? C is the bigger set. I apologize. I thought E was the bigger set. Thank you. Mike decides that he should ask those who have played both sports first. This is actually could be another set of interest to us. People who have played baseball and tennis. And there's also a special name for this, just like there was a special name for unions. Yes?
Is it like an N?
That's the symbol.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's kind of on the sheet.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
What it's called is it's an intersection. So I'll write the definition for you here quick. So, well, for this example anyway, so the set of people who play tennis and baseball is the intersection of T and B. And like you guys might see on the sheet there, the symbol for that is kind of an upside down U. So this is the symbol right here. So that's how we write the intersection of the two. So who can tell me who's in the intersection of T and B? Right back there.
Janet and Jamal.
Janet and Jamal, that's right. They're the only two people who are in both sets. Okay, so time to do exercise two real quick here. Okay, so we have our answers up here. So for number one, did anyone else get these numbers? 1 to 6, 8, and 10 for the intersection. Did anyone get something a little bit different?
It's 12. I got 2 and 4.
Okay.
Are we just returning the intersections?
Yes, because the symbol here is an upside down U, right? So that's the intersection. So it's only elements that belong to both sets. So, you want to come up and fix your answer?
Sure.
All right, awesome. Okay, how about for number two? We have E and O. Who else got E and O for their intersections? Great, okay. Awesome, looks like that was the general answer here. What about for, I should have changed that. My apologies, although they wrote the right answer because they knew what I was looking for. E union or intersected with C is this what everyone got? Blue, red, yellow?
Yeah.
Excellent.
But blue, red, yellow is the same as E.
Yes, it is. So you could write is equal to E too. Again, if you wanted to not write as much. So, because they're the same set. These are the exact same set. Right? Okay, great. So now that we've learned a little bit about intersections and unions, what we can do is, I'll raise over here. We can actually use Venn diagrams, which you guys may have seen before, to represent sets and to kind of just visualize it. So, does anyone here not know what a Venn diagram is? Okay, just in case, a Venn diagram, it's two circles, and each circle has some sort of a label or some sort of name or something like that. So in English class, you might have like adjectives and like other things like that where you could put words that are in both sets in the middle. So in mathematics, we do it with sets. So let's use our previous example. Let's stick with tennis and baseball players. So the idea is we want to write in the names of the people who are in these sets such that they're in the right circle and their name's only written once. So, what section would I write Janet's name in?
Middle one?
In the middle one, yes, because she's in both sets. Oops. So Janet is lying in the circle T, so that means Janet is a part of the set T. Janet's also lying in the circle B, so Janet's a part of this set too. So it's just it's another way for us to visualize. So let's keep going through the names. Where would Josh go? Joshua.
Tennis.
So like here?
Okay,
tennis, but not in baseball. So. Okay, Jamal.
In the middle.
In the middle. Jessica. In the last one. And who's left? Jordan. Yep.
Baseball, like far right.
The far right, that's correct. Okay, very good. So this is just another way that we can represent our sets. So just again, so if we just look at this right here, this set right here, what does this section of the diagram represent?
Tennis and baseball.
So the intersection of T and B is what is how we could write that. So that section there, we could write as T intersected with B. And this whole diagram, if we went all the way, if I traced all the way around here, what does that represent? The union of the two sets, right? It's anything that lies in T or B. So what I'll do is I'll label this over here, T or B. T union B. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
So again, just another way to visualize it, another way to talk about sets. Yes?
Is that the
same? Yes. So, but we haven't quite gotten there yet. That's the next section we're going to cover. So right before I go there, one last thing I want to go over, and I want to show you guys just kind of a relationship of some of the things that we've seen. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to use a notation, and I'm just going to use vertical bars. And essentially what I'm going to say that to mean is the number of elements in whatever sets enclosed in those vertical bars. Instead of writing the number of tennis players out in words, this is just an easier way to write it. So the number in the set T, how many elements are in the set T? So let's go over this again. So you front row there, say your name too.
Three. Oh, Thomas?
Thomas. Three. Yes. The number in the number of baseball players. Yes.
Four.
Four. And your name was?
Rita.
Rita. Okay. T union B. Rita.
Five.
Five. I was right. T intersection with B. Right there.
Andrew.
Andrew. Two. Yep, that's right. Does anyone see potentially a relationship between these numbers that we just came up with here? Yep?
Yeah, okay. You know my name, right?
No.
Okay, Iqbal.
Iqbal?
It's instead of excluding the one, it's 2, 3, 4, 5. That's what I noticed.
It's just a pattern, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, that's a good pattern to notice. Anyone notice anything else?
It also goes 5, 4, 3, 2.
Depending on which order you write it in, yes. Here's the relationship that I wanted you to see. What's the relationship between these two numbers?
If you do T intersection, like the T B intersection.
Yep.
You put that first.
Okay.
And then you put B and C. And then if you put the union last, then it's like.
It's a sequence of numbers, like consecutive numbers. Yep.
You know my name.
Yes, Andrew.
Okay. For T and B's added together 7, and T union B and T intersection here add together 7.
Yes, and that's what I was hoping that you guys would see, because that's actually true for any two sets, and we can write out this relationship. So I'm going to write out like a little equation here. So. Except I'm going to write it a little bit differently. Okay, so the number in T plus the number B minus the number in the intersection is equal to the number in the union. Who can tell me why? That's the real question. I got a maybe in the back there. A maybe? Not sure? How about in the front here?
I don't
know. You don't know?
Because T and B and then the T, B intersection, T, B union. So T and B add up to 7, and the other two also add up to 7.
Okay.
So when you subtract the T intersection, then like you take out the two people that are in the.
Yeah, and that's a really good observation. You take out the two people that are in the intersection that you've counted twice. I had a hand in the back there. Well, how are you going to explain it?
I was just going to explain it.
Yeah, exactly. So remember at the beginning, we added just the number of people in this set to the number of people in that set, but we counted everybody who was in both sets twice. So by subtracting the number of people who are in both sets, you can get the number in the union. Does that make sense? Maybe this is probably like the most difficult thing so far that we've tried to do. It's more of an understanding thing. So, but what we're going to do is we're going to move on to the next part here. And then after this part, we'll take a quick break, okay? So one more thing to do. Where should I start? I should start. So complements and universal sets. So let's say that Mike now wants to know who else is in his class, just in case these people that he asks doesn't work out. He wants to know all of who his classmates are.
He doesn't know his classmates?
Sorry?
He doesn't know his classmates?
Let's say he's new to the class.
Yes,
he would probably know his classmates by this point, but for the sake of the example, we'll continue. So the question we want to answer is, how many of Mike's classmates do not play tennis or baseball? So I see a hand up.
How many students are there?
Well, that's the question, right? It's because with the information that we have now, we actually can't answer this question, right? Because we don't know the set of people that we're talking about in the back there.
It's on the page, though.
It is on the page? Okay. Well, it's not there for now. It's true, it is on the page. But we'll get there. The idea, though, is that if we didn't know who is in the set of people that we're considering, there's no way that we could answer this question. So what we need to do first is we need to figure out, what group of people are we talking about here? So at the beginning of the example, who did Mike want to ask to be his partner?
The beads directions?
Well, right off the bat.
Somebody who knew how to play badminton.
Okay, even before that, before you got to that step.
Anybody who played tennis or baseball?
I think it was anyone who was in his class. So what we're going to do here is we're going to define what a universal set is in this case. So because we're referring to the people in his class, so his classmates, we would say that all of Mike's classmates belong to a universal set. And so a universal set is simply the objects or elements that we're considering in any particular situation. So in the back there.
I think you should fix the M because it looks like an N. Some people might get confused.
Where? Oh, yeah, okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Great. All right, so you may have seen some of the names on your sheet. Allow me to write out the universal set. So one more thing is we use the letter S to denote the universal set. Unless I say otherwise, you would use the letter S to describe the universal set. Okay? So Mike once again looks up his class list and finds the names of his classmates are the following. So here's how I'm going to do this. I'm going to do T union B, just so all the J names that we had, the five J names that we had, in addition to, there was five more people in his class, so I'll write those names out. So we had Paula, Patrick, Pam, make sure I get the names right here. Priscilla and Peter. So, again, you could write it like this if you wanted to write it in short form, or we could write all five names out if we wanted to, too, up here instead of that. We could do it like this. We could do Janet, Jamal. So you guys can write it whichever way you like, whichever way is easier for you guys. If you've already wrote it the other way, don't worry about this. I'm just showing it so that you can write it either way. Jordan.
Is that going to
change it though? No, it won't change the set.
It's tough. No matter what, it's tough. That's what I'm considering. Tough. Sure.
Janet, Jamal, Jessica, Jordan, and What was the other name? I'm missing one. Joshua. So that's the more complete way to write it. Then we can see exactly who's all in the class. So there's 10, he has 10 other classmates in his class.
Okay.
So this is probably the last definition that we're going to learn. So the set of people who do not play tennis or baseball is called the complement. And complement, and this is sort of important, is spelled with an E here. If you spell that with an I, that's the compliment that you give to a friend to encourage them. The compliment, when talking about sets, is spelled with an E. So, just keep that in mind. But I'll underline this whole thing. It's called the compliment of, and since we're considering the set of tennis or baseball players, it'd be the complement of T union B in our case. Okay? And the way you write this is just like follows. T union B with a line over top. So anyone who's not in T union B is in this set right here called the complement of T union B.
So they're out of
T. Exactly, they're outside of it. Yes.
That's kind of small class.
It is a small class. It goes to a private school. If we are given this, who's going to be in this set? Who can tell me who can be in this set?
Paula, Patrick, Priscilla, and Peter.
Priscilla. So that's who's in the complement. Yes.
But then where would Mike go?
Where would Mike go? Well, we're only, if we look at the universal set, Mike, we actually was never in the universal set to begin with because the set that we're considering are his classmates, not the people in his class per se, but everyone but himself. So if I was going to describe this in words, I would say Mike's classmates. But Mike's classmates. So really, depending on your situation and how you define your universal set, that's going to define who's in here. If we were just going to say the people in his class, that would include himself and we would have to put Mike in here. So it's important how you define things. It gets important if you're talking about nitpicky details like that when you get into the nitty-gritty of things. So it's important to make sure you've understood what you've defined. So we can show this again. If we want to use a Venn diagram, we can show that again. So there's another way to draw Venn diagrams, and you'll see one on your sheet. We can draw a big box, and the box is labeled S, and that's the universal set. Then any sets within that set, we can draw on the Venn diagram here. So T and B. So what would be the complement if we were looking just at areas? I won't bother drawing the names in here. I'll just show you the areas. So we recall that this area was T union B, right? Inside here. So what area would be T, or the complement of that area?
The outside.
Anything that's on the outside. So all this. So that shaded area is the complement of T union B. Okay? So time to do the next exercise on your sheet. So exercise number 3. So shade the sets that are listed above the diagrams. And I'll have someone come up here and shade it. The complement of a set is anything that doesn't belong to that set. Remember. So right over here. So the set of people, so in this example, it was the set of people who didn't play tennis or baseball is called the complement of that set, of that specific set. That is correct. So the area, if we're looking at a Venn diagram, that refers to T complement, again, it's anything that's not in T. So it includes the part of B that's not in T, as well as all of the outside of the two circles as well. So essentially, we're looking at anything that's not in that circle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And same with B complement. Anything that's not in the circle that represents B is shaded. Belongs to the other set. So the visual concept is right there. So with that, Right? You guys can also try exercise 4 real quick, and then we'll take a break, okay?
Oh, are there juice boxes?
Are there juice boxes now? We didn't have juice boxes for you guys, I'm sorry. I believe everyone is back. So, we're gonna leave the smart board on hold again. If anyone wants to do it after, they can. We're gonna finish the questions, we're gonna do our last little bit, and then we're gonna be done, okay? And then you guys can work on the problem set or play on the smart board. So, number one, who got 3, 5, and 7 in their set for the answer? So is that what everyone got? No. What did you get for number one?
1, 3, 5, 7.
So anything that is not an E is the first question. So yes, we are actually missing 1, and we are actually missing 9 as well.
AKA oh. So that yes. Includes all 4?
Sorry?
So that's like all 4?
All 5. There's all 5 odd numbers. Because E contains all the even numbers from 1 to 10, right?
Oh, I mean like all 4 like sets. Like S, O, E, and
P. S, O, E, and P. One thing, okay, let me clarify really quickly here. So, when you're considering elements that are not in a particular set, look back to your universal set. Look back to the S set for all the elements that you're considering at the time. So S right now is 1, 2, 3, and I'm just gonna put the dots there, all the way up to 10. So S is the set of the numbers from 1 to 10. Okay? This is a dot, dot, dot. It just means that all the numbers from 3 to 10 are in there as well.
What?
I'll write them out. If that's confusing. So, and E was all the even numbers, right? So, the complement of E, and I'm holding the brush right in my hand, is anything that's not in E that's still in our universal set. So 1 is missing, and 9 is missing. So it's anything that's not in E. And E was all the even numbers, so we have to put all the odd numbers. Alright, so number 2 here. Right in the back there?
On number 5, I'm about to put the line
on top.
Oh, okay. So back to number 2. Yes, right there?
5 is not supposed to be in it.
5 is not supposed to be in it.
Because in O, 5 is already there.
That's correct. So it's O is all the odd numbers. O has 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9 in it. So all of the even numbers are what we're doing. Yes?
Would the complement for O be E and the complement for E be O?
Yeah, you could write it out that way if you wanted to. If you wanted to not write the whole set out again. Because these are just the odd numbers from 1 to 10, and these are the even numbers from 1 to 10. So you could write it out that way, but I like that everyone wrote out the actual numbers so we can actually discuss what's in the set and what's not in the set. Okay, whoops. For number 3, the complement of P. So, who else got this answer? Here. You got that answer?
Wait, no.
So, the elements in the set are 1, 4, 6, 8, 9, and 10. You got that answer as well? This is actually the correct answer because it's any of the elements that aren't in P. Let's write what P is real quick here, just so we can visualize. So P was 2, 3, 5, and 7. Those are the elements that are in P, 2, 3, 5, and 7. Now we know our universal set is the numbers from 1 to 10, right? So let's go through each number. Is 1 in P? Yes or no? No, so 1 goes in here like it is. 2 is in here, 3 is in here, 4 is not in P, so we write 4 in here, just like it is. 5 is in here, 6 isn't, so 6 goes in the complement of P, 7 is, and then 8, 9, and 10, none of them are in P either. So they all go in the complement of P as well. Are we starting to get the understanding of what a complement is more now? People doing better with that? Okay, so number 4, E union P, the complement of E union P. So, what I'm going to do right here, I'm going to change this to E union P. We're going to write out that set first. So, what elements are in E and P? E or P. So, Yes. I'm going to write them in a little bit of a different order so that they're in numerical order, just might make people's, might make it a little bit easier to count. So these are all the numbers that she said that were in E or P, but written in numerical order. So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10. So we go back to E union P complement. So we see that all the numbers from 1 to 10 are in that set except for 1 and 9. So this is actually the correct answer for that. And number 6. Yes? You've already answered number 6. So for any of you who don't know, this is actually one way to write the correct answer. So S was the universal set, right? So the complement of the universal set, or the complement of everything, would be the empty set. And this is actually a set. You can write it like this. You can write it as an O with a slash through it. The other way you can write the empty set is like this. We just do two curly braces and we don't write anything inside it. So one or the other. Don't do both, because that's actually something different. You do one or the other.
If
you did both, technically you'd have a set with one element in it, and that set would be the empty set. You'd have a set with a set in it, which is very confusing. And we're not going to talk about that, because that's confusing. Don't forget I said it. So this is the empty set. Okay.
What would a set with set in it equal?
You might see that later here. When you get to like either high school level math or like university level math, you might see that if you ever get into those kind of things. But you probably won't see it otherwise.
Would it actually just be like set and then set? Or would it be like...
Yep, you could write it that way, but again, I don't think we're going to touch on that subject. It's just important to note that it's not, it's something different if you write both ways at the same time. You can either write one or the other, so. The last thing we're going to talk about here is subsets and combinations, so this is our last subject. For our last example here, and I'm not going to write out the words, I'll just write out the sets for you guys so that we can finish this up really quick. So our universal set is going to be 6 colors. Red, orange, yellow, yep. Yep. Okay. So consider that you guys are renovating your room. You're moving things around, you're rebuilding the walls, that kind of thing, and you have the option if you want to repaint your room or not. Okay? And these are the colors you have to choose from. So let's pick 2 colors to paint this room. So what 2 colors do you guys want to pick? Pick one color.
Yellow.
Yellow and?
Blue.
Blue. Okay. Now I'm going to make that set C. I'm going to let that be C, so C for colors. So the colors that we've chosen. So earlier, in our earlier examples, you guys saw sets where we had a set something like this, and a bigger set that contained all of these elements. So this smaller set, there's a technical name for this. It's called a subset of the other set. So since the chosen colors belong to the set S, we say that C is a subset, sorry, I'll write it in words first, is a subset of S. And how we write that is this, C, and then we do a sideways cup with a bar under it, S. So C is contained within S. All the elements of C are contained within S as well. Yes?
So the bottom symbol is like sideways B with a line under it?
It's actually a curve. It's not a sharp point. It's more like the U. It's more like a sideways U. You can kind of think of it like a less than sign and a greater than sign. The sign points towards the bigger set. It opens towards the bigger set, which the set that contains the little set. Does that make sense? Do you guys remember for greater than or less than, how that works? The greater than or equals, the greater than sign eats the bigger number?
Yeah.
Great, okay. So you can kind of think of it the same way if you have trouble remembering that. So. Now, here's a question. Let's say we wanted to pick two colors, but let's say we still weren't sure which two we were gonna pick. Let's say we're gonna pick like any two. How many different pairs of colors could we pick? Who has an idea of how many different pairs of colors we could pick?
Like, for the room?
Yeah, or if we were gonna do two, colors. Just two colors.
Oh.
Yes? Three?
30.
30?
Yeah.
How did you get 30?
So, for the first color,
I'm gonna erase this one, maybe. I'll leave this set S, but keep going.
For the first color, there's six possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And for the second color, there's five possibilities. So six times five is 10. Factorial.
Yes, it's kind of a factorial, but we don't go all the way to zero. But there's one other problem. So what if we chose, so one of our choices could be yellow, blue, right? We said that was one of our choices. What if we chose blue first, then yellow?
It's
the same set, right?
Yeah,
it's the same set. So, this is almost the right answer, but here's what we have to do, and I'll show you how you do this. We need to divide by 2. Yes, in this case, 2 is the correct answer, but I'll show you why. So if we take any two,
Because
it's like
two
out of
the
set. Yes. Yes and no. Here, I'll show you how I would do it. So once we've picked our two colors, so let me erase this. All right, see up here again. How many different ways are there to arrange these two given colors?
Two.
Yes, two. Two factorial, right? Because there's two for the first position, and then the last one has to go in the last position, right? So what about if we made a set D that was yellow, blue, red? How many ways are there to rearrange these three colors?
Six,
3 factorial, right?
Yep.
Which is equal to 6, is for D. So it's important to realize that this number on the bottom here is a factorial. It's actually, and it's the number of colors that you're choosing. It's kind of a combination of what we did last week with permutations, but we're doing permutations kind of twice. There's the first permutation, which is the total number, like starting with the total number of colors, then going down for how many objects you have, and then there's the bottom number, which is the actual number of objects. Yes? It would actually be 15, yes. The answer for this is 15. 30 divided by 2, which is equal to 15. Yes?
What did you write for that? Chosen colors thing? Because you just skipped before
everything. Sorry, I just wrote out, I was just giving two examples. It wasn't extremely important. I was gave essentially two examples of sets, and I was just asking how many ways are there to rearrange the number of objects, which is the same as we learned last week, right? If you have 5 objects, there's 5 factorial ways to arrange them. So essentially, for any set of 2 elements here, we're dividing by the number of ways to arrange 2 elements, and that's how we get our answer, okay? So let me write out the actual formula for you here. So this was just an example, but I'll write out the formula. So number of, and this is, instead of a permutation, we use the term combination, because order doesn't matter in our case. So permutation is when the order matters, a combination is when the order doesn't matter. So the number of combinations of, and we're going to use variables here, okay? So of k objects, so k is one of our variables, k out of n objects, and this is equal to, and I'm going to give you this formula here, okay? So it's this one you're probably going to want to write down for the questions. So n factorial over Okay, so this is the actual formula. So if n is the total number of objects you have, so in this example, the total number of objects was 6, and k is the number of objects that you're choosing, in this example it was 2, and the formula is n factorial divided by this whole phrase right here. So this is n minus k factorial, so n minus k is in brackets, the factorial of that over k factorial. So let's rewrite, if we rewrite that example, so the other way that you can write this is 6 factorial over, so 6 minus 2 is 4 factorial, times 2 factorial. That's another way to write this. So this is that actual formula. If you want to figure out why that works, you can do a little bit more research, but for now I'm just going to give you the formula and I'm going to give you your problem sets, okay? So that is the end of this lesson.